Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
All right, Christmas break is over for the Blackhawks as they return to the ice later tonight at the United Center. It's the Blackhawks versus the Wild. You can catch the action right here on NBC Sports Chicago. The puck drops just after 7:30. Meanwhile, it was like 2011 all over again last night as Derrick Rose heard chants of MVP from the crowd on the west side. Rose is a free agent next season. Would you want him back in a Bulls uniform? And if the Bears can't get a first-round bye, would it be better to host the Vikings, Eagles, or the Seahawks in the first round? We'll discuss all that and a whole lot more coming up on this Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live. Here we go. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Chuck Arfine in for David Kaplan. I hope Manny Machado and Yonder Alonso had a great Christmas holiday together. The same with you and your family. We'll get to that a little later on. Let's meet the panel for the show. It is Ben Finfer, Pat McGann, Jim Litke. I got an all-star panel with you here, so we'll have some good discussions. Let's begin with the Bears, who are getting set for their final regular season game this Sunday against the Vikings. Lots of playoff implications are at stake. Does anyone think that they're going to beat the Vikings, the Rams are going to lose to the 49ers, and the Bears are going to get a number two seed? Anyone?
I wouldn't bet on it. Certainly possible. The NFL can be crazy. But if I had money to put on it, if people did gamble on this sort of thing, I wouldn't recommend it.
They gamble?
I've heard
legally
rumbling.
Now. Yeah. Let's forget.
It's unlikely that the Rams are going to lose at home to the Niners. And I think the Bears can beat the Vikings in Minnesota, but if they sit their starters because the Rams are beating the Niners, then obviously that becomes less likely.
You think that's going to go on? They're going to watch the score and decide, well, we're never going to catch the Rams. We're going to bench our guys.
They might start to, you know, adopting that approach depending on how things go. I mean, you know, we see all over the world now soccer games are timed to prevent that kind of
look, if the Rams are up 21 points at halftime, they're going to know.
Yeah, think about it. Minnesota's got great motivation to win, obviously, and the 49ers don't. I mean, obviously, it'd be nice to knock off the Rams, but it wouldn't really do anything for the 49ers as such. So, you know, my guess is Los Angeles will be very businesslike about it. I think the Bears will be good, and I think you'll end up pulling guys at the end of the game because the Rams are going to win.
I think it's going to be tough to win for the Bears. I mean, and if they're out of it in the first half, do you really send everyone out there second half?
But you also want to have some momentum. You want to win the game, right? Or you not really care?
No, you do, but I think it's just going to be difficult. Yeah. I also think it's a great measuring stick, though. If they are going to go for it, if they're really going to go and try and beat this team, and it could be a great, like, message for the rest of the league that they're for real. I still would like to see a real offensive game out of them.
If I'm the Bears, I'm thinking I want the Vikings out of the playoffs.
Well, there is that. You're right. And you'd be playing the Vikings possibly in back-to-back weeks, which is not – I know the Bears have beaten them already at home, but still, you don't want to see the same team back-to-back. And I think you'd probably, if you had your best, you know, choice, you would go with the Eagles to play in that first game. But
because
they're not as good, in my opinion, as the Vikings. You haven't seen them. They haven't seen you yet this year. Eagles have been better recently, but I think you also have to weigh that against the risk of injuring Trubisky or Khalil Mack or somebody of that importance. And that does come, I mean, you're talking about a head coach who sat his entire team in a third preseason game, and essentially that's what this could turn into if it doesn't mean much.
Bulls had a monster week last week, right, for the Eagles?
Who did?
Nick Foles.
Oh, Foles.
Yeah.
I thought you said Bulls, too. I don't think the Bulls have had a monster
right.
in a while.
I was staying on the topic
okay,
of the
so
Eagles
Nick
for a minute.
Foles, yeah, he's become, yeah. or we're seeing shades of what he was last year.
Right. So he scares me more than
agreed.
Think Cousins?
Wentz? I think that,
oh, the
yeah.
Cousins.
Yeah.
Cousins.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Neither one of them scared me. Look, I think we're splitting hairs on a possible opponent for first round of the playoffs. I'm not worried about either opponent. I think the Bears are better than both of them, especially playing at Soldier Field. Assuming everybody's healthy, Eddie Jackson comes back for that game. Bears should be favored and should win that game no matter who they're playing.
All right, so you bring up favored. Did you look at the line? Let's
Drop
talk.
In.
Okay, this well, first yeah. off, okay, this started off, the week started off with the Bears 7-point underdogs going to Minnesota. 7 points, which is insane.
Right.
I interpreted that as they want Bears fans to put money,
on it.
Right?
Sure.
Isn't that how it works?
That's what betting lines are.
Yeah, I know. Like 7 points? Like they won the division. They're going to Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota's playing for the division, or not playing for a playoff spot. The Bears are trying to get a home field
advantage. I would interpret it more as they assumed the Bears weren't going to play anybody going into that one. And as the week's gone along, it sounds like the Bears are at least going to start.
It's now down to four and a half.
Yeah. So that's, I think people are realizing, like you, that 7 was too big of a number.
Yeah, and where do you decide to draw the line? You know what I mean? If you're down trailing by 3 all game, are you going to let Trubisky play all the way through that thing?
Yeah. Here's our Ankin Law poll question. Assuming they don't get a bye, who do you want the Bears to face in the first round, Eagles, Vikings, or Seahawks?
You know what? If it was me, I'd take the Vikings. I think you know the parameters of what the Vikings can do. I think they know each other pretty well. I think the Vikings have gotten a little better. What's his name who took over as coordinator? Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski has gotten a little more mileage out of the passing game. They were running him okay, but at least you know where they are. I think the Eagles swing so wildly between good and bad. Seahawks, I think, are capable of a really, really good game at almost any point, too. I'd like the Vikings because you know them the best.
Bears beat both the Eagles and Vikings, Seahawks and Vikings at Soldier Field this year. So we know they could beat either one, though. The Vikings, as you said, have changed offensive coordinators, and they had some injuries the last time the Bears played them, too. Some guys are back for them, so it could be a little bit different.
I don't want to go near a Super Bowl champion team. They know what it's like to win in the playoffs. I know you don't have Carson Wentz. They're unpredictable. You don't know what you're getting from the Eagles, but I'd rather face them. But you know, all these teams, I can see this, the Bears having problems with all these three teams, or I can see them rolling over all three. So it's tough to predict.
Hopefully, I'd rather the Vikings, if you're going to play back-to-back weeks, play in the second week, lose the first time, coming home, you're going to face them a second time. I think they'll be fine.
But again, Bears are better than all these teams.
Yeah,
you're
true.
Right. They could absolutely. It's the NFL. Nobody is clear cut.
Okay, but remember,
not in Chicago. You're not doing that.
Remember what we always, what everybody loves to say. We say it a lot too. Is that the hottest team tends to win in postseason.
Right.
And I gotta say, the Eagles have been improving with Foles all the way through, and that is not unlike what they did pretty much last year. They got a little more efficient. They were able to squeeze a running game out a little bit. But I think the Eagles would be a tough matchup against the Bears.
Yeah, I think any of them are tough matchups. I don't think the Bears would blow any of them out of the water. I just think with the Bears' defense, if they're playing at their best, none of those teams are going to beat them. And as long as Trubisky's not turning the ball over, making decisions like he did this past week against the Niners, the Bears are going to be just fine against them. I'm not saying look past that first-round matchup, but I am much more concerned about potentially playing the Rams or Saints down the line.
I'm concerned about the offense and the kicker.
I'm with
the kicker, Cody Parker.
Cody.
That's fair.
Both fair.
And then that's what we got to worry about in the playoffs.
Yeah, 14 points
even
last
if
week.
You're a great defensive team.
Agreed.
I want to throw a QB stat at you. Do you know who has 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,060 passing yards, and a QB rating of 96 for the season?
Yeah, that would be one Mitchell Trubisky.
Can you believe this?
It's not bad. And, in fact, if he had played in those two games he missed, he'd have better numbers, more touchdowns at least, than Brady and Rodgers. So he's obviously better than them.
I'll tell you, yes, in September I was concerned about Mitchell Trubisky. But if you would have told me at the end of the season that Trubisky or any Bears quarterback would have those stats, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3 rushing touchdowns as well, and a QB rating of 96, sign me up.
Yeah, no, that's insane. I'm surprised by those numbers.
Right, but remember, what if they told you he was also going to miss two games?
And
I think I'd like to know how long he's going to be running. I think that is a really uncertain way to pin your hopes on a quarterback when you got a guy that runs a lot. So he's kind of cut that down, which I think is smart.
Yes.
And I think Nagy's gotten very smart. You know, they were throwing a lot shorter the last couple of weeks than they have been, and I think they're protecting him better, which I like. And he's not having to run as much, but that's not a way to have a long-term quarterback.
You know, the numbers are nice. I mean, those are good numbers for his second season, his first full one as a starter in the NFL, and also the eye test. He has improved since game one, and you talked about he's not running as much as he did. But
running for his life. That would have felt like. Yeah. It was all right, I've got 1 second, don't say anything, I'm running!
And he still has a long way to go. I mean, you could see, again, he made that dumb pass the other day. There are mistakes he's making, but there's been improvement, and that's very encouraging. And can he win you a game? I think he can, but it's more likely that he's not going to cost you the game. And for a Bears quarterback, that's a big deal.
Yeah, manage it.
I got a question for you. Toughest question you're going to get. What do you think of Club Dub?
Club Dub? Love it. I'm in. I mean, I love how much fun they're having.
Like, yeah.
That's what you want out of a Bears team. And this reminds me of the, not the 85 Bears, but the team that went to the Super Bowl and came up short.
Oh, the like 06 Bears.
So 06
or 07. 07
was the game, right?
Dominant defensively, good chemistry. They seem to enjoy each other, enjoy the city. And they want to play at home, and they want to, they're already talking about they want it to be cold. They want people to come here and be intimidated just by the environment.
I love the 85 Bears, okay? Love them. Grew up on them. I want another Super Bowl championship team in Chicago, as everyone does. Not just because we won it, but we've been like, you know.
We all need new
gear. Let's roll out the 85 Bears again for perspective.
We need new Super Bowl gear. Right? We can't keep wearing the same sweatshirts from 1985.
So here's a big question. Do they redo the shuffle?
I mean,
don't you think?
Let the shuffle go.
No, I don't say.
That's a great column, Jim Litke.
They'd have to come up with a different lyrics, different version.
You know,
a little
what?
Better dancing, by the way.
Get Lin-Manuel Miranda to write you a modern.
They already have the club. I'm surprised no one's put this together. They already have the club.
All right, copyright. Can I get a?
Yeah.
The Bears had already taped, like, already was in the can by now.
Yeah.
Oh, they came out with it during the regular season.
It will never be the same because they would have had to do it after.
Yeah, but they had
no one would have the guts to do it before.
They had to add McMahon post-production, and who else was it? McMahon
Walter.
And Peyton both?
Walter.
Yeah.
The two biggest players. They didn't show up. Oh, this is actually a big deal. Okay, let's get in it.
And that looks like an Atari game now, by the way, now from the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Well, they could have. I would love to just go into Club Dub and see what they're saying. You know?
Oh, you're not getting in.
No.
They're not getting in.
They're not on the list.
Not with that shirt.
But, I mean, if they
could. No tie.
No tie, yeah, that's okay.
Kind of business casual.
Yeah, but Club Dub, who named it Club Dub? Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody will take credit for it. But I know the idea, at least partially, came from Joe Madden, right? Or Matt Nagy talked about.
Matt Nagy met with Joe Madden.
And the influence of him, of sort of celebrating every win, not just saying, oh, it's the NFL, we're professionals, let's move on to the next one, that you should enjoy the wins. So I think that was part of the motivation. I don't know who came up with the name, though.
Okay. I want to see a Super Bowl Shuffle 2.
Billy Deck probably named
it. The sequel. That's right. We'll have more football coming up as we're joined by John Clark from NBC Sports Philly. Give us the Eagles' perspective on Week 17 in the NFL. I might have to ask him about Machado as well. Plus, Derrick Rose turned in a vintage performance last night at the United Center, leading the T-Wolves to a win over his former team. Who wants him back on the Bulls? Or should we just close that chapter forever? We'll discuss next.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
As soon as Sunday's Bears-Vikings game goes final, switch over to NBC Sports Chicago for the football after show. Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Matt Forte join Lawrence Holmes to set the table and give you a reaction to the game, previewing the Bears' first playoff game and more. That is the football after show here on NBC Sports Chicago. And we're now joined by someone who is quite interested in that Bears-Vikings game. In fact, his whole city is. John Clark covers the Eagles for NBC Sports in Philadelphia. All right, if the Bears beat the Vikings and the Eagles beat the Redskins, the Eagles will make the playoffs. So I'm assuming you're coming on this show asking for our help. You want us to help you guys out so you guys get to the playoffs, right?
Yes, we come here in peace. And I think a lot of people here in Philly are breaking out the old Saturday Night Live bits with George Wendt and the Bears. If you had 11 Mike Ditkas, you'd win every game. The Bears. Right, so, yeah, we're all about Chicago this week.
Yeah, that sounds like a guy from Philadelphia trying to pretend like he's a Bears fan.
Yeah, and I mean, I have my Philly accent when I say water ice, so I can't really get the Chicago accent down, but I do love your pizza out there, deep dish.
We love it, too. Who is this Eagles team? What is it? It's tough to figure them out, and now you obviously have Nick Foles running things, and we saw what he did last year. So who are they? Do you even know what to expect from them on a week-to-week basis?
You know what? I think we do know now. They've won four of their last five, and you got to say, I mean, they have faced three first-place teams with Dallas, L.A., And then, of course, the Houston Texans. And look, I think they're playing their best football of the season. I think they finally found themselves. They had a ton of injuries in the secondary, but you're seeing some of those younger players really playing well now. Avante Maddox, Rasul Douglas, these guys are playing well. They're kind of growing up before our eyes. It all starts with the defensive line for the Eagles, and they're dominating, especially in the second half now. But I think, number one, I have to say the Nick Foles magic, the Nick Foles mojo is back once again. They've scored 30 points in two straight games for the first time this year, and you saw his epic game against the Texans, setting the Eagles' all-time record for passing yards in a game. So I think they're riding the magic. If they don't get in, I think that that is a good sign for other teams in the playoffs, because like some of the Eagles said today, I don't think the other playoff teams want to play the Birds. They know they're dangerous.
Interesting. And I was looking back, they lost to the Saints 48-7. At the time, you guys were 4-6. Was the feeling in Philadelphia at that time, this season's over?
I think a lot of us said to ourselves, yeah, this it's just not happening this year. It's not happening. But I got to tell you, Nick Foles right now is playing better with this offense than Carson Wentz did this year. Carson coming off the knee surgery, also had a back issue that was really affecting him and throwing the ball down the field. So I think you see Nick Foles really involving the receivers more, like Alshon Jeffrey is a lot more explosive, and he's throwing the ball up to him for deep plays. Nelson Aguilar, you saw the big play with him this past weekend. So I think Nick Foles spreading the ball around a little bit more. Nick Foles is getting that ball out quick. But, you know, It's going to be a shame, I think, for all Philadelphia Eagles fans here. If the Eagles don't get in, you kind of get the sense they wasted this opportunity. If they could have come alive one or two games earlier and not have blown the leads against the Titans and the Panthers, that they could really make a run in these playoffs. As I said, it really goes back to the Bears and you guys helping out. And I found a stat today that is quite astonishing for Bears fans, I think, are going to like this. The Vikings this year are 1-5 against teams that currently have a winning record that they have faced. And all time in his career, Kirk Cousins, not a big game quarterback, in games against teams with winning records at the end of the year that he has faced, he is 5-24. 5-24. That is outrageous. So he is not a big game, big time quarterback. So I'm expecting the Bears to take care of business this weekend, even if they rest their starters in the second.
Well, the way you're describing this Eagles team, I want the Bears to lose to the Vikings and face the Vikings. I don't want to go anywhere near your Eagles team in the playoffs.
I think that's a good point by you. But, you know, look, I really think this Bears defense, it doesn't matter. I think in some ways when they start resting the starters, if it's the second half, you saw in that first game against the Vikings, they dominated the Vikings in that first half. I think they jumped out to a 14-0 lead. They held Kirk Cousins to like 50 yards passing in the first half. So that is the defense, the monsters of the Midway that people of Philadelphia want to see this Sunday.
All right, I got to ask you a baseball question. Did you hear what Manny Machado and Bryce Harper apparently think about Philadelphia? They don't particularly like it. What's going on with today, Phillies fans hearing stuff like that?
How did I know you would bring that up? How do I know?
Because we're here in Chicago.
Look, I think the number one thing for Manny Machado is the money is going to talk. And if you're hearing, okay, Manny Machado probably wants to play for the Yankees. Yeah, I mean, he grew up rooting for the Yankees. We get the word he wants to play for the Yankees. A lot of people have wanted to go to the Yankees. But remember Cliff Lee turned down more money from the Yankees to go to the Phillies. And I think the situation here is the Phillies can offer more years and more money. So I think that they can blow the Yankees out of the water with their offer. Let's say the Yankees only want to go 7 or 8 years. Well, maybe the Phillies go 10, because all of the baseball leadership of the Phillies, they were there in Baltimore when they drafted Manny Machado. All of them, they're all there. So they have loved this guy for a while now. They were probably the second team in line to trade for him at the deadline. So if they truly want their guy, they can outspend the Yankees and get him. And I don't see how Manny Machado would turn down an extra 3 years and an extra $60 million like Robinson Cano had that decision a couple years ago.
But you don't have his brother-in-law, Yonder Alonso.
Yes. Yeah,
that's who the White Sox.
I love how you throw that in there. Look, and I agree that is a bold move by the White Sox. Family.
Yeah.
Hiring family to bring him there. But look, how many games did the White Sox win last year? 60, 62, something like that? I think Manny would see that this is a much better situation to win than Chicago.
I'm very uncomfortable. I'm kidding. John, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Hey, good talking with you.
Okay, awesome stuff. All right, we're going to talk Machado and stuff a little bit later on, but let's get to Derrick Rose, who was back in Chicago last night, turning back the clock for a vintage game against his former team. How about this? 24 points, 8 assists. The T-Wolves beat the Bulls, and at one point, Bulls fans showered Rose with chants of MVP. Listen to this.
And he's taking this on as a challenge and goes right at Derrick Rose and everybody here at United Center chanting MVP.
MVP chants. First free throw for Derrick. I think that was a smile, too.
I had to crack a smile a little bit. It made me reminisce about some of the old days and how grateful I was to be in that position at a young age. And just trying to take all of it in. With the year that I'm having, it was very special to come back here and play. And this is my second time playing here, so it meant a lot. This feels like my rookie year. I'm reading everything, of course, with the knowledge that I have and all the games that I played. It's not my rookie year, but it feels like a breath of fresh air just coming in and not having any expectations on you, just going out there playing.
He's wearing that Chicago native hat as well. What do you
love
think
it.
About that?
I love it. I mean, good for him. I'm glad that he's having a little renaissance in his career and that he's healthy, and you see he's still – explosive, and that was the last time we had like a great Bulls team. That was a lot of fun, that run. And he's from here, and you see him wearing that hat. That's a message too. He's showing love as well. So
yeah.
I think it's all good. I like that he's wearing white at the United Center. I don't know why we allow that, but that seems like a home team move. But good for him.
Yeah, why do they change it? I don't like this. I like wear the whites at home.
Yeah, but that's anymore. You know, merchandise sales. That's another thing
they're
you can sell.
They're so lost right now, man. They are so lost.
Yeah.
Who's but, lost?
The Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls.
The whole organization. They need to recalibrate, obviously.
Yeah. Well, they've got some pieces. They just haven't been able to put it all together.
I don't know that the pieces fit very well together, as we saw last night in that game, too, although they haven't played that much together either, to be fair. Derrick Rose is a complicated figure. There's a lot of off-the-court stuff, of course, that you have to think about. But as far as basketball goes, it's pretty impressive what he's doing this year. I mean, I thought he was done. I don't know how he didn't quit. I know he came pretty close to doing it.
Because his body was letting him down?
His body was letting him down. I think just mentally, he seemed like he was ready to give it up. I think he even talked about that a little bit. He's obviously still beloved by a lot of fans here. He meant a lot to a lot of people in Chicago. So I thought it was a pretty cool sports moment.
Yeah, and it's even a cool moment going forward. I mean, he's relatively healthy. He's obviously playing really good basketball. You were talking about giving up the game. I mean, remember what it's like to have two catastrophic knee injuries. And I'm old enough to remember when knee injuries, that was it. You were done. They couldn't do anything but put a plate and a couple of screws in, and hopefully you could walk. So it's great to see him come back. It's great that he's playing on a club for an organization that at least has some idea of where they're going and is starting to build in a smart manner, which is the exact opposite of what seems to be going on.
Give him credit, too, because the one knock on his game before at the end of his Bulls tenure was he couldn't hit the three-pointers. He's averaging 45% from the three-point range.
He never thought
he could do that.
He's adapted to the modern NBA. He obviously was an explosive player early in his career, but because of those injuries, couldn't play that way anymore. And now a 45% three-point percentage is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you want him back on the Bulls? He's a free agent at the end of this season. Pat McGann.
No, because I think it just speaks more to this lost identity. If they did that, that just is more like we don't know who we are at all. That era has passed. And like I said, I'm happy for him that he's playing well. But they need to move forward, not backwards.
I mean, here's the other question. Who would you want other than LeBron?
I want Derrick Rose.
You do?
Yeah. I say bring him back.
Well, that'd be a nice story, but
off the bench. He's going to be the sixth man of the year, probably, if he continues playing like this. I mean, okay, no, just let's just show this now. I mean, let's just rule.
This is depressing.
But he could not be a member of a Bulls team without being the leader. I don't think.
Correct. Like, he can't come off the bench.
He owned this town.
Right.
Like, he was, and I actually wonder in his heart of hearts if there were times where he wished he could go back and would have played some of the times when he maybe was healthy enough to play and still decided not to.
I go back to his original injury. And that, remember that, this gets lost in the story, that he was playing hurt all season long, he had this injury and that injury and that injury and this injury, and they kept playing him and playing him and playing him. And when you do that, your body gets compromised.
Well, that's
and
what happens. Thibodeau way.
You tear your ACL.
That's how Thibodeau does things. I don't think Derrick Rose fits on this team. This is supposed to be a young rebuilding team, and I'm not sure this is the right place for him either. Yeah. He seems to be in a pretty good place right now. If I were him, giving him advice, mm-hmm. he doesn't come to me, but if he did, I would say, I think you should stay where you are right now, assuming they're willing to pay.
Yeah, someone's going to pay him, I think. I mean, I don't know how much he's going to get, but, I mean, the season he's having, if he stays healthy, he's going to get a nice contract.
Yeah.
So you're saying stay with the Bulls or go to the Bulls? You go to the Bulls?
No, I say don't. I say stay away from the Bulls. Yeah. In fact, this is a message to any free agent. Stay away from the Bulls.
No, what are you saying?
It's not good for you to come. You want to play for Jim Boylan?
So did you Pex just said yesterday or today that the idea is to develop this core over like the next 3, 4, 5, I think were the numbers he used, so that some guy would want to come here and play. So that's 3 years or more of rebuilding before you're going to attract top flight talent?
They're not going to attract tight.
No, you're clearly not going to do it now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Jim Boylan had a quote in the paper today about talking about like sharing and caring. That was like the takeaway from last night's game. We're getting better, starting to do some sharing.
Like it's kindergarten?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you talking about? Are you out of your mind? Like, I don't know who has bought in. They need to blow that thing up.
Well, I think they've been playing better since they decided not to play Jabari Parker.
They have been a little bit better.
Last night, obviously, was a different
story. Last night was ugly. They've been better recently. But, you know, it's three games that they've looked better for. I don't think it changes much. But what you think about Jim Boylan, that team is a mess. And what they really need to do is figure out a way to get those young players playing well together. I mean, that's obviously the key. Markkanen, Dunn, Levine.
They're finally back together.
For the first time all year. I think they played a few games together, a few minutes together earlier. But that has to work. Magic.
But they have fallen from that
from a
franchise
level.
Should be globally recognized still with the where that brand was after the Jordan years, and they rode that into the ground.
But I just feel like it's basketball. One player potentially can change your fortunes quicker than any other sport.
For sure. There's only five guys on the floor. Yeah. But
and you can put the ball in the hands of your best player when you need it.
You got to find that guy, though.
Modern NBA is at least two guys, not just one guy. No one guy can ever do it. Jordan would have a hard time doing it coming back by himself. And by the way, good teams are three and almost four. I mean, the reason that the Warriors are having a problem right now is Draymond is way less efficient because Thompson is way less efficient because, really, Durant and Steph Curry are going to give you that every night, but they're falling off in a significant way. You got to have at least two to just be maybe a playoff team, and you need three to contend, for sure.
Yeah, and it's not so easy you're right. One guy can make a huge difference. You're seeing what LeBron has done for the Lakers, what he's done for other teams, but it's not easy to find those guys. You either have to attract them through free agency,
or draft
which
them.
The Bulls clearly are unable to do, at least they have been for the last 20 years, or you have to draft it.
Well, they didn't
and you're
get
not going to do that
ones.
At number.
Carlos Boozer, that was a good pickup.
A good pick is consolation
prize. That was a fallback.
But they still had a good run with him.
Not because of Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, right. That's important.
He was a nice player. Carlos Boozer was a nice player, but that's not what they were looking for.
And I know. They were looking for someone named LeBron.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they sent many of the Bulls to the airport to greet the free agents,
so you have to draft
that was McGrady.
That was McGrady.
Right. And the problem is if you're drafting 5, 6, 7, you're just not going to get that type of player there.
They did some really good drafting with the 2011, 2012 team. I mean, they got Joakim Noah. They got Luol Deng.
Oh, that team was built. I mean,
if Rose doesn't get hurt,
Deng was a great player.
We're telling a whole different story.
You could criticize.
And who was putting that together? That was a John Paxson team.
There's a lot to criticize Paxson for. We do it a lot, and it's, I think, completely fair. But you also have to look, you're right, at the start of his tenure, a decade and a half ago, that's the problem. Yep. He did have some good picks. Gibson was a good pick. Deng was a good pick. Noah, of course, they kind of lucked into Derrick Rose.
Yes.
But then it just stopped. After Jimmy Butler, they did a really poor job.
And how many of those guys are here, by the way? That was zero, I think.
They got a good trade for Jimmy Butler. I'm not trying to be the company guy here.
I'm just trying to
tell you the other side of the story. But at the same time, yes, things are not good right now.
They're terrible.
That's a very fair,
terrible,
a very
right?
fair
they're
character.
They're flat out terrible.
Well, I mean,
no good. Very terrible.
What's the record?
9-25.
They've gotten
that's
hot
not
recently.
Good.
So
no,
that's
no.
that is terrible. Actually,
I mean, I'm rooting for them, but you got to turn it around.
All right. Well, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, they could turn things around for the White Sox. They've got some things in common, by the way. They're both free agents. They're both going to make a ton of money, and apparently they don't care about a certain city in the Northeast. We're going to play a little more of this little number coming up next. Machado, Harper talk, Cubs, Sox. We're back in a moment.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Tomorrow night at 11, it is High School Lights. Luke Stuckmeyer has all the prep holiday tournament basketball action. That is High School Lights tomorrow here on NBC Sports Chicago. And we are back on Sports Talk Live. The Bryce Harper, Manny Machado saga took a week off for the holidays, but now we got another juicy tidbit, courtesy of Joel Sherman of the New York Post. He reports that both Harper and Machado don't particularly like Philadelphia. I mean, Philly's not exactly Miami Beach, but what do you think about the latest story that they don't even want to go to Philly?
I know people from Philadelphia. I have friends there, and I'm not going to say anything bad about Philadelphia.
You won't?
No.
Don't. I will.
They'll beat the hell out of you.
I don't think you go to free agency thinking, oh, I want to go to the Phillies, unless you're from there, unless you dreamt about playing for them.
Like Mike Trout would maybe go there.
Maybe. He's from there. I don't think that's your ideal opportunity that you're thinking about for 5 years before you finally – 6 years before you finally hit free agency. That being said, I do agree – you guys were talking about this earlier, but the money is going to matter a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand why – Machado or Harper would make it known to anybody that they don't love Philly. It doesn't help them in negotiations.
I just want to know how some of this stuff gets out. Like, who said that to him?
So maybe it's an agent's way of getting the Phillies to offer more money or something.
As I said before, I think he left a bad review on Yelp. I mean, I think that's pretty much – no, I have no idea. I'm pretty sure they went out to eat somewhere. He said, hey, how was the food? Wasn't great. And then some guy got a hold of Joel Sherman and said, hey, he hates Philadelphia.
But it could be – I mean, look, again, who wants to go to the Phillies? I mean, they're not going to win a World Series.
So they were pretty serious. What? We're talking – well, it's a while now. We're almost
5 years ago. They were
and they were starting to spend money.
It's a good sports town.
They have a lot of sports teams.
They want to spend stupid money.
They want to spend stupid money, but I just don't know if that – look, if you're deciding between the Dodgers, the Yankees – the Phillies, what are you choosing?
Are you even going to bring up the White Sox?
That's a good sign.
Throwing them out.
Well,
come on now.
The White Sox, too.
You don't take it seriously, do you?
I do take it seriously because I think the White Sox are serious about it. I think they're willing to spend the money. And if you're willing to spend the money, then you have to take it seriously.
What do you think the
ultimately,
money's going to be?
What's that?
What do you think the money's going to be? What do you think Harper's going to demand?
Well, just based on reports, $35 million?
Yeah, they were talking 30 to 40 a year for 10, but which both.
Who knows?
Harper might almost be. But I would say almost like a reasonable buy at that price if he's, you know, as serious as he seems to be about the game already, taking care of himself. He'll be productive, I think, deep into his career. Nobody's worth.
Well, there's also opt-outs. There's going to be opt-outs after year three and four, whatever it is. I think if they're prioritizing winning at all, obviously the Phillies and White Sox don't make sense. But then I think the money does get to a point where you say, well, winning's nice, but I could do that in 3 years when I opt out of my contract.
All right, I'm reading the tea leaves. Here's what the tea leaves say to me. I'm not on the inside. I'm just watching this from afar. And this also does not take into account a mystery team, which may or may not be there. Sounds like there's not a mystery team. Sounds like it. Okay? It's between the Phillies and the White Sox for both these guys. Period. And why I say that is... how do I want to put this?
Not the Yankees.
Well, how much do the Yankees need them?
Well, to beat the Red Sox, I think they probably do.
Yeah, for sure.
Them. Yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
The Red Sox probably have the most solid hitting lineup in the
Are they going to spend that silly money for either of these guys?
It's the Yankees, so I don't think you could dismiss it. I think it's definitely possible they would.
Okay. If you believe that, well, that would be for Machado, because apparently they don't want Harper, apparently.
Right. That's what they say. It sounds like most likely. And Machado makes more sense for their lineup anyway than Harper does, though you could fit him into that lineup too.
Okay. Probably. Does it sound like the Dodgers did make that trade to open up some spots in the outfield, but they also are looking to improve in catcher. Second base.
And there's also been rumor that or report that they're looking to stay under the
luxury tax level.
I just don't know if that's going to be possible for them. I think the Dodgers is the most likely. I mean, come on, that trade wasn't a coincidence. They freed up a lot of money with that. I think you have to think of them as the favorite right now for Bryce Harper.
Okay. Then for that much money, I just feel like the Cubs are a possibility, I guess, but we're hearing that thing too. But I think it's who has the most flexibility to spend the most amount of money? Phillies, yeah. White Sox. What do the agents want? Most money. Who can offer it? White Sox, Phillies. Now, unless the Yankees are willing to, like, I mean, they already have Andujar at third base. They have the DD situation, so I get it. Machado's favorite team is the Yankees, so I'm not taking it out of the conversation. But if it just comes down to strict money and who has the most money to spend, White Sox or Phillies.
And if they don't like Philadelphia,
and they don't like Philadelphia.
Chicago is always the team that all the teams vote for, the best road city that they love coming to. These players have been coming here for years. They know the city that Chicago in the summer is the best.
So
I think the White Sox have a legitimate chance. I think if it's going to be one of them, it's going to be Machado.
So to go on to that, if it's true that they don't particularly like Philadelphia, that means the White Sox will sign Harper and Machado.
Oh, that's where this was all headed towards.
Wow.
No, it's not. But what do you think, Jim? I mean, I'm totally hypothesizing here because there's this little nugget of information, this little bit nugget of information, and you're trying to figure out what this is all about, what's really happening. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to money and who has the most flexibility to spend it. And
I think
keep going back to the White Sox and the Phillies.
In Machado's case, I think it's definitely going to be about money. Harper, I'm not so sure. I'm not saying he's going to take $10 million less, but he might take $5 million less to go somewhere and get a long-term deal. I think he's a lot more brand conscious. I think Machado just wants his paycheck, yeah. And that's about it. And I think Harper looks at himself, not as a brand, but as a guy he's going to want marketing opportunities, which LA is good for, or the White Sox are a possibility in that regard because I think he's solid. They've got money that can pay him long term. They can offer him up some pretty decent marketing stuff.
Hard to hit too.
Yeah, but it'll be tough in this town with the Cubs.
Yeah, the exception is obviously the Dodgers, and I hear what you're saying about LA and Harper, because he does seem like very LA. He does seem like a perfect fit. You put him there. LeBron's
from Vegas, so it's close.
Vegas. That makes sense. But would they give him a 10-year, $400 million contract?
I don't know. They could afford it. I mean, by the way, the Cubs could afford it too.
Yeah.
And I'm still holding out hope that they'll jump back in. Maybe they are still in this thing, because they should be. Because they can claim all they want that they have financial issues, but they obviously don't. Let's not forget,
the Red Sox, who won last year, already announced they're going to be over the luxury tax for this coming season.
And so are the Cubs, too.
Well, sure. And so that's my point. In other words, in those cities, L.A., Chicago, Boston, New York, I don't know about Philadelphia, there's a handful of cities. You can make money as a baseball club. You just got to spend a lot of money in order to make
it. They're all making money. I mean, it depends on how much they're making. They all have good TV deals.
Yeah, but you can't take on that kind of salary unless your cash flow is big. And there's only that many markets where you're cranking
around.
Well,
that's true.
I would say the White Sox and the Phillies need them more than the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Oh, unquestionably.
The question then is, will that be the reason why either of those guys end up signing with the White Sox or the Phillies?
I think there's probably a number the Sox and Phillies can hit that both Harper and Machado would say, I have to take that, where there's just no choice, an offer they can't refuse. But I don't know that either team was going to go that far. Right. I just don't know. I'm not saying they won't. I don't know that they will. Because, again, if winning matters at all, of course you're choosing the Dodgers or Yankees over the White Sox or Phillies.
Yeah, watch, after all this, Harper will sign with the Padres. Machado will sign with the Angels.
Toronto.
And all this talk we've been doing for the last two months will mean nothing.
Aren't the Angels a team that always just jumps in at the end?
Machado's going to Japan.
Coming up, the Blackhawks are playing some of their best hockey of the season. We'll preview the game tonight and talk about Pat's comedy tour of Chicago.
Yeah.
You're busy.
Busy week.
All right. That and more next.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
We're back with our stat of the day, brought to you by Chevy Silverado. And tonight we're looking at the career numbers of Blackhawks goalie Delia, who gets the start tonight against the Wild. This will be just his fourth NHL game. In his previous three, he's gone 2-1 with a 2.90 goals against average. He was great for the Hawks Friday in Colorado, stopping 35 of 36 shots faced in a 2-1 Blackhawks win. So with Corey Crawford still on IR and got that concussion, should the Hawks give Delia a majority of the starts to see what he can do going forward?
Absolutely. There's no reason not to. There's nothing to learn from Cam Ward. This is a rebuild year, clearly. And you need to find out as much about your young players as you can, him included. I would play him as much as possible. You're not going to win a ton of games. You might lose more because of it. But I don't know. If he plays like he did the other night, then he also helps you win a few extra.
I'm going to be the worst sports talk show guest ever and say, I agree.
Pass.
I agree with Ben.
Okay, so the only reason, by the way, that I know his name is that he was the guy that was in the net before Scott Foster, who's a rec league player and an accountant, had to come in and fill in for him and finish a game last year. This is like, you know, the Walter Mitty kind of a dream. Hawks trouble me. I got to tell you, I really like watching them. I liked watching them a couple of years ago when they were faster than everybody else, and now that they're slower than everybody else, it's painful. I mean, Kane, Taves.
They've been playing some good hockey lately, but Taves is actually having a better season.
Oh, crazy good year. If you told me he was going to be that good, I would assume the team would have been much better.
Yeah. For this guy, though, too, Ben, it makes a great point. It's a rebuild year, clearly, and, you know, there's nothing like real game experience, I bet. Yeah. I can't imagine what these guys go through, but getting real game experience has got to be the most valuable thing.
I mean, you have to find. Why would you wait until next year? Who knows about Crawford? His career could be over. You're going to wait till next year and then start dealing and then find out he can't play? This is the year to do it.
Yeah. All right, Pat, you're at Zany's this week.
Yes.
I'm going to see you tomorrow night.
Nice. I love that you're coming out. Yeah,
yeah, you better bring your A game because you know what? When you don't have your A game, no, I'm kidding.
No, it should be fun. I love doing Zany's. They're celebrating their 40th year in business. Mm-hmm. That's like the iconic club here in town. So much history there. It's always fun. I'm there tonight, tomorrow, and then New Year's Eve. And then Saturday, Sunday, I'm doing their other locations. Rosemont, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm in St. Charles.
And there are multiple shows each night, right?
Yes. The only night I'm doing one is on Sunday in St. Charles.
Okay.
But the other night's two shows every night.
Is it usually the later show, the better show, better audience? Or
the later show is better on Saturday, typically, but on Friday, the earlier show is usually.
Okay.
But the one you're coming to is going to be great.
I'm going to the later. Yeah,
you're going to the late. But tomorrow's not a typical Friday. A lot of people are off. A lot of people are on break.
Good.
This is my favorite week of comedy of the year, actually, between Christmas and New Year's. People are chill. People are relaxed.
Do you do like a nice breakfast show at all?
Yes.
Maybe a brunch?
I do.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because
how old are you, Ben?
They have an open bar.
Come on, dude.
I'm just saying I love, that's my favorite meal of the day.
Like an old man over here.
Want to laugh at brunch?
Yeah. What's the craziest or strangest venue you've ever played? Have you ever played like a nursing home? I don't know.
Not a nursing home, but I've done, that's a tough one on the spot, but I've done so many.
Yeah, but you're going to the Garden in a couple weeks, right? You're going to be playing there?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Madison Square Garden opening for Sebastian Maniscalco, so that'll be
that's amazing.
World's greatest, what do they call it, arena? World's greatest rink?
Yeah.
World's famous arena. So Willis Reed, Patrick Ewing, Pat McGann.
I think of Jordan's 55 playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ewing.
It's going
to
be fantastic.
Are you going to like soak that in? I mean, when you go to Madison Square Garden.
Wear a Jordan jersey when you do this.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
Do the popping. You know, get on stage and
that's
pop that thing a couple times.
Take some pictures.
For sure.
It should be cool.
And so your material has been very family oriented because you're a family man right now.
Such a family man.
Yeah.
I talk a lot about my life and I'm married, got three little kids, and try and draw from just, that's where I think comedy is right now, not to get like too deep on it, but like people are flocking to comedy. It's actually booming now more than ever. And I think it's one of the only places that it's like you get the truth. It's really people holding up a mirror.
Are you counting what goes on CNN for about 24 hours a day is comedy or not? Because it's like
I don't do.
You got
a
some competition.
I'll just say I'm laughing all day. It's not always
as warmly
as you're talking about, but I'm laughing a lot.
Yeah, it's there's plenty of material out there.
That's interesting though. That there's a boom because people are like looking for something that's.
I think it's
real?
Like an escape, that's
escape.
What it should be. You know, I mean.
You know what else is? You can see it everywhere.
Yeah. Streaming and Netflix specials everywhere.
Oh, good stuff. Time for a break, but when we come back. We're talking Bears. NBC Sports football analyst Chris Sims joins us. We'll get his thoughts on who he thinks would pose the biggest challenge to the Bears in the first round.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
I have to bring that up to you guys just because then it gives you something to talk about, and then also I can talk about it a little bit. But no, they don't care. We don't. We're in this building right now, we're just so focused in on trying to win, honestly. And if we're concerned about any of that other stuff that we can't control, then we're not going to do everything we can to win. And that's why I'm trying to. I want, you know, it is a unique situation. That's the real part. But the other real part is that we are going there to do everything we can to win the game. And whatever happens outside of our game, we can't do anything about it.
Chris, let's get right down to it. If the Bears end up being the 3 seed. They'll host either the Eagles, the Vikings, or the Seahawks. Which team of those three would present the biggest challenge for the Bears?
Well, it's a really good question. I mean, hey, the Eagles, of course, we know they have their mojo going. The Vikings are a team that you look at and go, okay, that's in your division, and do you really want to play them a third time? I do think they pose a challenge. But I think that the team that would scare me more than anything would be the Seattle Seahawks. I think that's the team I look at. One, because they have a very good run game. They can control the clock a little that way. Russell Wilson's so dynamic on the back end that he can make plays that even if your defense plays something perfectly, he is good enough to overcome that. And they are battle-tested. Yes, it's not exactly the Legion of Boom they got there in Seattle anymore, but there's still a lot of guys on that roster who have been in big playoff games, and they still got Pete Carroll, Doug Baldwin, and Russell Wilson. And if you made me choose out of those three, that's who I'd go with. But none are going to be that easy.
All right. When Cody Parkey misses a kick, Bears fans freak out here in Chicago. Should Bears fans be concerned about Parkey in the playoffs, or are these isolated incidents that we've seen with him in the regular season just their own thing, and he'll be okay in the playoffs?
No, I mean, this would worry me if I'm a Bears fan. Yes, I'm worried about Cody Parkey. I mean, we all know the NFL is so close. The difference between the best team in football and the fifth best team in football can sometimes come down to just a field goal by a Cody Parkey or whoever field goal kicker that might be out there. So I understand the concerns. I do worry about that a little bit because you are the Bears. You're a defense-first football team. You know, more times than not, your games are maybe a little closer than they should be because you're still a team that's learning how to win and how to put teams away. And I just hope that Cody Parkey and that whole situation doesn't come back to bite the Bears in the butt.
Now, the Bears defense, as we know, lights out this season. But does this team have enough offense on the other side of the ball? Because you could end up facing a Rams team or a Saints team that can score a lot of points.
Yeah, I get the question. And the Bears offense certainly isn't one of the, you know, high-octane offenses in the NFL. But I'm not concerned about it. I mean, one is because of your defense. I think your defense, and they've already proven it to a degree, what we saw them do with the Rams. And I don't care if that's in Chicago. I said this a few weeks ago. I don't care if they play on Mars or they play in L.A. The Rams are going to have a tough time moving the ball on the Chicago Bears defense. It's just not a good matchup for them. So, yes, I understand the concerns about the offense, but I don't look at the Rams defense as being real special. And, yes, the Saints defense has been better, but I still think the Bears have enough talent there to move the ball on that group as well to where they can beat anybody in the NFC. And I think the offense is still dangerous with Nagy's game planning, Trubisky's ability to run, and some of the weapons that are around him.
All right, good stuff there. Thank you very much, Chris Sims of NBC Sports. And that's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow here on NBC Sports Chicago.